you don't sit down this minute, Winifred, there will be consequences, bellowed Miss Fortitude. But miss, I was just... Miss Fortitude turned and started to walk stealthily towards Winifred's desk, a low growl emitting from somewhere deep inside her. Yes, Miss Fortitude. Winifred scrambled back into her chair and stared at her textbook, trying to make out the words on the page as the tears swam in front of her eyes. It wasn't fair, she thought. I always get the blame for everything and all I ever do is try and help. She snuck a sideways glance at Miss Fortitude, who now seemed engrossed in picking at what was probably a flea caught in her wiry arm hair. Winifred sighed. She really was a formidable lichen woman. If it wasn't for her mean streak and odd odour, Winifred could almost have admired her. Rumour had it, she would have made the Olympic wear-pack had it not been for an unfortunate accident involving a pitchfork. But since she'd started at the Full Moon Academy, Miss Fortitude seemed intent on making Winifred's life hell. It was almost as if she had an ancient vendetta against her. The day she died was December 3rd, 1954. The furnace had cooked the air so hot, my mother had peeled off her sweater and stood in short sleeves, jerking at the window in her bedroom, wrestling with the stuck paint. Finally, she gave up and said, "Well, fine. We'll just burn the hell up in here, I guess." Her hair was black and generous, with thick curls circling her face. A face I could never quite coax into view despite the sharpness of everything else. I raised my arms to her, and she picked me up, saying I was way too big a girl to hold like this, but holding me anyway. The moment she lifted me, I was wrapped in her smell. The scent got laid down in me in a permanent way and had all the precision of cinnamon. At 27, Emma wonders if she's getting old. She used to pride herself on her refusal to see two sides of an argument, but increasingly she accepts that issues are more ambiguous and complicated than she once thought. Certainly she doesn't understand the next two items, which concern the Maastricht Treaty and the war in Yugoslavia. Shouldn't she have an opinion, take a side, boycott something? At least with apartheid, you knew where you stood. Now there's a war in Europe and she's personally done absolutely nothing to stop it. Too busy shopping for furniture. Unsettled, she throws off her new duvet and slides into the tiny corridor of space between the side of the bed and the walls, shuffling sideways to the hall and into the tiny bathroom which she never has to wait for because she lives alone. She drops her T-shirt into the wicker laundry basket. A great deal of wicker in her life since that fateful summer sail on Tottenham Court Road. Puts on her old spectacles and stands naked in front of the mirror, her shoulders pushed back. Could be worse, she thinks, and steps into the shower. Once upon a time, there were four little rabbits, and their names were Flopsy, Mopsy, Cottontail, and Peter. They lived with their mother in a sandbank, under the root of a very big fir tree. "Now, my dears," said old Mrs. Rabbit one morning, "you may go into the fields or down the lane, but don't go into Mr. McGregor's garden. Your father had an accident there. He was put in a pie by Mrs. McGregor. Now run along and don't get into mischief. I'm going out." Then old Mrs. Rabbit took a basket and her umbrella and went through the wood to the baker's. She bought a loaf of brown bread and five currant buns. Flopsy, Mopsy and Cottontail, who were good little bunnies, went down the lane to gather blackberries. But Peter, who was very naughty, ran straight away to Mr. McGregor's garden and squeezed under the gate.